First Peter chapter 3. So not so long ago, I was with my son. We were by Little Sarasota Bay, and Mark Elliott has a drone. Most of you know what a drone is. You remote control this thing. It flies in the air. It has an eyeball, and you can look at what you're seeing from the drone's point of view. And it can go pretty high, it can go pretty fast, and it's really a lot of fun to play with. So we were on the shore of the bay in a very quiet little spot on Little Sarasota Bay. And so he's driving, remote controlling the drone, and I'm looking out on the shore, and I said, "Hey, Mark, there's a dolphin." And it was a big dolphin. You could see probably a big male, a big dorsal fin, and he surfaced. And I was like, "There he is!" And all you can see from the shore was his dorsal fin. And I said, "Hey, Mark, can you find him on the drone?" So he did. And our water down here on the Gulf Coast of Florida is very clear. And so there he is, a drone over this big dolphin, just having a wonderful time being a dolphin in Sarasota Bay, and we could see everything from above, where on the shore all we could see was occasional breaks of the surface. And I really thought about how God sees and covers all. He has a vantage point like no other. He is spirit. He resides in the heavenlies, and he covers us. He sees our goings, our tos and fros, our lefts, our rights, our ups and downs. He knows where we're going, and he follows us and covers us all the days of our lives. We, on the other hand, look at things from a surface point of view very often because we don't have that vantage point. But we rely on God, his covering, his love. He is always with us. There is not a moment in our lives, no matter how dark and despair a day may be, and how desolate life may seem in a moment of time, we are never alone. And I think about that because prayer is what covers us. It is part of humankind. It is really in our DNA, particularly at the time of our new birth. But even for those that are not born again, you will hear that. People use the word, "I pray," or I'm hopeful. I pray that'll happen. Well, let's pray it happens. Even people who have not yet understood the love of God and the power of prayer, it is intrinsic in a human to utter a communique, a word of acknowledgement, and to implore our divine Father for his covering in our life. And I think about that because he sees all of it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 with me. One of my very favorite verses, and you'll hear me say that to every verse that I go to, but this really is, on a prayer basis, one of my very favorite verses, and it stuck with me from the earliest days that I ever read God's word. I was about 19 years old when I first opened the Bible. And this verse stood out to me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." Just like that drone, seeing from a vantage point like no other on that dolphin. He could see him flipping and turning and hitting the sand below him and making a little puff of silt go around him. I couldn't see any of that from the surface, from the land. But above, Father sees all of our movements. He knows what's coming on the right. He knows what's coming on the left. His eyes are always over us. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. And his ears, and we know God is a spirit. So the eyes are a figurative aspect of him. His ears, isn't that interesting, are open unto the righteous prayers. Always, Father hears our voice. He never turns his ears from our words, our prayers, our petitions, our expression of gratitude. Genuinely unique prayer is to the individual. How they articulate their appreciation, their gratitude, their awe and respect for God Almighty. And we hear that expressed in a uniquely individual way because that's what we are to Him. We're unique people. We are a peculiar people, each one individually created with that Christ in us that only He can see the fullness of. I only see what you express. You only see what I express. God sees it all because His eyes are over the righteous and His ears are open unto our prayers. You know, not long ago, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had traveled to Texas with a friend. Before I went, I was recovering from a summer cold, and man, I just kind of wouldn't go away. You know how those things are. I wasn't contagious or anything. It's just the symptoms just wouldn't quite shake, and I traveled, and then there was a dog there. I was allergic to it, and then I got some real congestion thing going on, and by the time I got home, it went from bad to worse. And I was sitting here in my desk one day, not long after I returned home, and I just had this thought, and it was as clear as a bell, and it was sinus infection. And that word and thought did not occur to me at all for the entire time that I had been sick. And just two words, sinus infection. And the way that it came to me and the clarity of it, and then right on the heels of that, what I should do about it immediately, like within the moments when that first came, was really awesome because it was what I needed. But you know what was really tremendous is I recognized that it was a result of someone praying for me. But what was interesting is I had not asked anybody to pray for me. But I knew that the answer that was given to me, the direction and what I needed to do to recover from this, was because someone somewhere, and I don't even know who it is to this day, was praying for me. That I knew. And it overwhelmed me. I remember my husband came home, and he'll hit me on the head when he hears this. I said, "Michael, were you praying for me today?" And he goes, "No." Of course he prays for me in the morning, but not like, "Oh, God, thank you for healing Victoria's cold." It wasn't like that. He goes, "No, I just pray like I normally pray for you." And I go, "Okay, but somebody was praying for me, Michael. Somebody prayed for me today. I know it because how it came was as clear as a bell. I knew it was a prayer. And I really love that God did that for me, that He didn't just give me the answer. He let me know that it was a result of prayer. And it really doesn't matter who it is, does it? We pray for one another. We make intercession for the saints, don't we? We have perfect prayer. I told Deborah earlier, she had crossed my mind and I had thought about her home. And while I did that, I prayed for her safety, for her comfort, and for all the things that she has in that lovely answer to prayer in her home. I haven't seen Deborah for a long time. God wanted me to pray for her. Did I call Deborah and say, was a prayer answered for you today? No, I didn't. You see what I'm saying, though? How Father works in us? He covers us in prayer, and we get to help Him help His children. And you know how that usually comes? In prayer. In prayer. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. So this is Jesus Christ, our big brother, and He gets to Bethany and Lazarus is dead. Lazarus has been dead now for 4 days. And they're very upset. They're weeping over the loss of Lazarus in the prime of his life. And Jesus wept, right? Jesus wept. And so here he is, and he knows that God hears his prayers. He knows that God's eyes are over him and protecting him. So verse 41 is such a beautiful statement about prayer. Verse 41, Then they took away the stone from the place where Lazarus was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said to God Almighty, his Father, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. That was his prayer. That was his prayer over Lazarus, right there. Where did he hear him? In his soul, on the several days that it took him to finally know that it was right to move from where he was over to Bethany. Remember, he didn't go immediately when he found out. And look what it says in verse 42. And I knew that thou hearest me always. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we need to be in our prayer life. He hears us always. There isn't a prayer that you utter that he does not hear. Sometimes we're distraught. Sometimes we're fearful. Sometimes we're joyful and exuberant. Sometimes we're at a loss for what we even need to pray for. But you know what? His eyes are over us because we're righteous in Jesus Christ, and his ears are open to us always. And what happened? Lazarus got up, blew their minds, and that was his prayer. Isn't that beautiful? Turn with me to Psalm 91, please. I bet this psalm was in Jesus Christ's mind at some point in his wonderful life because he knew God's word. And the psalmist's words would have given him great comfort in his own prayer life. And I know for me that my maturity in my walk with my God has allowed me to grow in my confidence in my prayer life, not to worry about how he's going to answer my prayers. I don't worry about that. I don't worry about telling him how to do something for me. I figure he created the heavens and the earth. He can figure out how to get me or whoever I'm praying for, whatever we need. However he decides is the best way to get it. I just don't tell God how to answer my prayer. I just thank him for doing it. I think that that verse in John 11, 41 is so beautiful. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And what did God hear from Jesus Christ? His heart, however he expressed it. So don't worry about praying perfectly, and I don't mean speaking in tongues. I mean saying it just right. Nobody ministered healing to me a few weeks ago. They just prayed for me. And maybe it was my darling husband just thanking God for me because he loves me so much that day. And that's all it took for me to have the clarity to get that answer of peace. You see? Because God's ears are open unto us. Psalm 91. So my mom was a great believer. She wasn't a biblical scholar. She couldn't quote you too many verses. But what she was a wonderful woman of prayer. And I know that my mother prayed for me every day because she loved me very much, but she loved God and she trusted God with my life. And that's how she prayed for me. She would say to me every day, she would say, Vicky, she's the only one that called me Vicky. She gave birth. She was allowed. Everybody else, Victoria. She would say, Vicky, God will shed his graces on you. God will shed his graces on you. He loves you. And I love you too. She told me that every day. I used to tease her because mom was getting older and her memory wasn't so great. And she would say it a few times a day. And I'd say, Mom, is that short-term memory loss? And she'd get mad and she'd say, No, God will shed his graces on you. It's not short-term memory loss. We would have a lot of fun teasing her. And I will see her again as my sister in Christ. And you know, when my days come to an end on this second heaven and earth, if I'm remembered for prayerful covering somebody, I will consider that one of the greatest impacts of my life. Over my son, over my husband, over the people that are the inner family of my life. Because I think and know that prayer is one of the greatest handholds we can do with God Almighty for his people. When I pray for people I love, like my husband, my son, or you, I pray because you are his child, God's child. If I can do something for you, I will. But what I can always do for you is cover you in prayer. Because I don't know what you need when you need it. But I know God is over all and sees your life. He sees what's coming towards you, on the side of you, behind you, and above and below you. Does he not? His eyes are over you and his ears are open to your prayers. Psalm 91. It's a really great little section. Psalm 91. Verse 14. So I'm going to read this to you and then I'm going to go back and clarify the pronouns here, okay? Because it's kind of interesting the way the psalmist wrote it and the way it was translated. Verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. So back to verse 14, because I have set my heart upon God, me as God's child, I have set my heart upon God, my Father. Therefore will God deliver me, and God will set me on high. He will raise me up above the fray, because I know his name. Look at verse 15. He shall call upon me, me, the believer, you, the believer, shall call upon God. When we think about that, when you go out at night and you look at that beautiful heavens above your eyes and you look up and you gaze at the immensity of the universe and the absolute magnificence of his creation anywhere on this planet, to think that you and I can call him anytime, anywhere, any day of our lives. I have access to the one that has created the heavens and the earth. I know his name. We're on a first name basis. God Almighty Elohim, and I'm Victoria, his little girl. That is amazing. I don't have to go through a bunch of hoops. I go directly to him. Wow. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. When I call upon my God, he will what? Answer me. Don't ever think that God's gone deaf and doesn't hear you. He hears you. He loves you. Let him figure out how to get you what you need. Don't worry about it. Let him worry about it. He's got way bigger shoulders than you or me. I will be with that believer, with you. In trouble, I will deliver you and I will honor you with long life, and I will provide enjoyment, satisfaction, and I will show you my deliverance, salvation. Isn't that encouraging to have God promise us that? Look at 1 John chapter 5 with me. You know, when we pray, we get to just be ourselves with God. You know, don't worry about if you say it right or you don't say it right or this, that, and the other. His ears are open unto the righteous because we have access, because we know him. And, you know, I think in this world that we live in, you know, Jesus Christ said to his followers, he said, hey, the poor you will always have with you. Didn't he say that? And we know there is a lot of desolation, that the enemy has decimated people's lives for centuries, has made just ruin of people all over the place. And I had an uncle who was never married, had no children, and he was the last elder on my father's side of the family. And he was a crusty old Greek. And he wasn't easy to love and to like and to help or any of that. He made it pretty tough. And it didn't matter to me. What mattered to me was my spiritual obligation and responsibility to love and to pray for him and to do physically whatever he would allow me to do. I would do, because I know that God wanted me to do that. And I hope he was God's son. I don't know. That's between him and God Almighty. But I know one thing. My uncle was not going to live on this earth with no one praying for him, because I know I was the only one, me and my family. There were no others in his life that covered him in prayer. And I didn't pity him because he was covered in prayer. And you know what I'm talking about. When you see people that are desolate, I will walk by them. Maybe I don't say anything, but I will throw a comforter of prayer over their lives as I pass. Because I don't know what that prayer will do. I don't know what that prayer will prevent, what that prayer will provide. I don't know. But I know one thing. That may be God's son or daughter sitting there. And maybe that day, I'm the only one who has prayed for them. It's the kindest thing I can do. Not give them a $10 bill or buy them a pint of vodka or whatever they want. I can pray. And I tell them sometimes, I am praying for you. Other times, I say nothing. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Everybody knows this wonderful section. I don't know that we can ever tire of reading its encouragement. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, and do we know that he hears us? Yes, we do. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And you know, I've learned to not worry about how God figures out how to answer my prayer. I just don't worry about that. I just look for the answer, however it's going to come. And you know, that's like a treasure hunt, because I know he hears me. I know he hears me. No matter what trouble, like Psalm 91 said, he is with us in our trouble. No matter what trouble I find myself or those I love in, God will deliver. Amen.